Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at night. The whole of John's Gospel is what the Archbishop Rowan Williams calls spiritual geography. And in that, it has this movement from darkness to light. Jesus encountering people, and scales are literally falling from some people's eyes. They see Jesus and they realize that he is the Messiah. And then there are those who are spiritually blind, that when they meet with Jesus, they for the first time see and understand, and their lives are transformed. When I first became a Christian, it was John's Gospel that I read that helped me to see for the first time who this Jesus was. It is my favorite gospel. And it is so because we have some really detailed narratives of Jesus with encounters with the people that he's meeting. And the same is with our gospel reading today. Nicodemus comes to see Jesus in the cloak of darkness. Why does he do this? Nicodemus has kudos as one of the top Pharisees, a member of what was called the Sanhedrin. They are the elite of the Jewish faith. They were charged with guiding the people in the way. Yet Nicodemus comes to see Jesus in the night. He's not bold enough to encounter Jesus in the light. He comes in the dark to avoid controversy as he engages with the one who is considered by some of his fellow priests as blasphemous, a radical who is challenging their authority. Perhaps this darkness could represent ignorance. By coming at night, Nicodemus is accepting his ignorance. But he is looking for light and truth. Nicodemus seems to me a man of personal substance who was seeking for the kingdom, seeking for truth, seeking to open himself up to the call of God. And we see in this encounter that he actually does have respect for Jesus. He's heard what Jesus has been doing. Jesus has been healing. Jesus has been forgiving. Jesus has been changing people's lives. And Nicodemus wants to meet him for himself. Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi, a respectful term which means teacher. And he admits that the works that Jesus are doing has been ordained by God. Yet his understanding is still in the dark. And so they have this long conversation that we read in our gospel today. A conversation about the subject that is the heart of the theology of Christian faith, about God's relationship with us, humanity. And yet, this religious expert is struggling to understand. Nicodemus was puzzled and confused by Jesus' answers to him. It was not the answer that he expected. There were no set of rules to follow, like a mathematical formula, merely a conundrum that he genuinely misunderstood. But Jesus' answer is pointing far deeper into that mystery of God's redemption and love for us. And for Nicodemus, he needs to go away. He needs to digest and understand what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born from above." And unlike us that are able to read the full outworking of Jesus' work, his cross and resurrection, and our understanding that we get for our Christian baptism, Nicodemus, when he would be looking in the scriptures, would be struggling to find an equivalent. Sure, he would remember King David's Psalms, where the psalmist calls for a clean heart and a right spirit. But only in the prophecies of Ezekiel there is talk of people receiving a new heart and a spirit within them. And so Nicodemus comes with a question that perhaps we would all say, a question relevant to his own situation. How can someone who is old be born a second time? Jesus' message is apocalyptic. It can only be truly understood in the times and events of the cross and the resurrection, and the glory that is to come, where all human history and eternity will be present. We will celebrate Pentecost after Easter, when the new work of God's Spirit will come to the people, both Jew and Gentile, in which God will not only dwell with the people, but will be born in our hearts. And this was to be a conversion not by following a set of rules that Nicodemus had so held on to, but it would be a circumcision of the Spirit in their hearts. Later on, we see that actually Nicodemus is changed by his encounter. He will defend Jesus in the Sanhedrin, that's the Jewish law court. He'll stand up for Jesus when the Pharisees are angry and full of hate, wanting to strike him and condemn him to death. And in amongst this turmoil, Nicodemus, the one who comes to see Jesus in the dark, now challenges them and speaks out, saying, "How can Jesus be judged without allowing him a fair trial?" Of course, the rest refuse to listen to what he is saying. And by Jesus' actions, they've already condemned him as blasphemous. But this too makes Nicodemus a marked man. And after the crucifixion, we see it is Nicodemus who helps the women to take Jesus' body down from the cross and helps to prepare his body for burial. In this act, Nicodemus becomes born from above. His deeds of confession are shown in this act. In this time of Lent, it's a time for us to reflect on our own journey with God. For some of you, you may voice a time when that Holy Spirit, the word in the Greek, pneuma, has acted like dynamite and has blown away your perceptions of God, and you have had a dramatic conversion. For others, the Holy Spirit is like the Hebrew ruach, a gentle wind of revealing, blowing upon your life, revealing the truth about the character of God. And you have come to this awareness slowly. Perhaps for some of you here today, you may not be able to embrace that belief at the moment. Perhaps you've become stuck in your journey with God. perhaps you've reached a point where you're finding that you're really struggling with your faith. And then perhaps for some of you, you've actually put your security in your life in material things beyond that trust in God. Like Nicodemus, who comes in the dark to encounter the truth, Lent for us is a time where we can do that spiritual health check. Our fasting and our prayer challenges us to ask, what does our faith mean to us? How does this faith affect the way we act? How does it affect us in the way we deal with others, and particularly those in need? For Nicodemus, his encounter leads him to step out and take risks. The risk of rejection as he seeks for justice. And the great good news of the gospel is that when we come back to God, when we encounter God and ask God for help in our lives, God does not let us down. In fact, God has always been with us, even if we didn't recognize it. So whatever situation that we are in during this Lent time, let us hold on to that. The one who showed Nicodemus the way is the one too who can lead us through those dark times into the light of his love, who can lead us to change us to be the people that God wants us to be. Those who are able to cry, God is our Abba Father. Amen. Let us pray. I'm going to say the collect that I should have said earlier. Almighty God, by the prayer and discipline of Lent, may we enter into the mystery of Christ's suffering, and by following in his way, come to share in his glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I won't deny that writing the prayers this week was a little tricky, and they've changed quite a bit given everything that's going on in the world right now. So I should be flicking to and fro from written notes, but that's fine. Don't think he'll mind. Let us pray. Lord and Father, you blessed us through the abundance of your love. As we journey through the wilderness of Lent, a time of preparation, of searching, of inner renewal, we pray that you will bless us each day to shine your love and light through us. We come to you with what we have, in the hope and knowledge that your love strengthens us and your spirit guides us. Hold us here as we pray together, as we pray for ourselves, our community, and the wider world. Warm our hearts as we are called to act. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our world is fractured and in tension. People against people. Ideologies that create conflict. Power and greed and control of a few to the cost of the many. Too often we are overwhelmed by what we see and hear. We switch off because it is uncomfortable, painful, disturbing. We are sorry. Help us to see the people in each news account. We pray for the child sat on the rubble where their home used to be, knowing that their family is somewhere beneath them. Alone, frightened, traumatized, we pray for them, for all of them, and for the agencies that give immediate support. We pray for leaders to use words, not bombs. We pray in our actions to fight for peace. Hold that child, Lord. Hold those families. Empower us to speak and love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray continually for peace, for communities and nations caught up in the struggle for control, where ideologies, faith and belief collide in catastrophic ways, of governments demonstrating strength through bombs, missiles and drones, where strength is not shown in love, but in force, where long-held allegiances are tested, where allies are relied or called upon, where onlookers must decide who gets their support. Lord, we have to ask, when will we realise that aggression and violence achieves little or indeed nothing? When will those in power acknowledge the impact that their actions have on the innocent people's lives they destroy? Jesus, you showed anger. You were human. You showed passion, but you teach us how to recognize our flaws and failings and show that only love can conquer. Shower the world in love, not missiles. Change hearts to seek peace, not war. Let love win. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for girls and women living in tented refugee camps, frightened to go to sleep for fear that they will be attacked with violence. Where have we gone so wrong that the violation and abuse of others is used as a means of oppression and power? We pray for thanks for the organisations who seek to support and care for those who have suffered through war and conflict. Show us how we can support them through whatever means that we can. We may feel far away, but you are powerful. Challenge us not to be bystanders, but to act with conviction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you. We pray for the family that's living in temporary accommodation, a refugee camp far away, a borrowed room, a bedsit maybe next door to us. When there's not enough food or clean water, when the clothes you are wearing are all that you have, when someone is sick and yet medicine is unavailable, when you are cold and there's no way to get warm, Lord, we pray for you to intervene in tiny acts of love, in selfless acts of generosity. Use us, show us how to love, make us, compel us to speak out for your blessings to fall on those who need it most. Help us to put our own needs to one side and to gift ourselves to others. Show us ways of using our time, our gifts, our money, and our voices. Help us to see ourselves as part of a solution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In our lives, we so often hear and refer to people and situations in a detached way. We groan and we moan. We grumble and we chunter. We speak of someone or they being the problem. We look to blame and to find blame. Our communities right here are divided. Politics and parties that seem to seek to categorize and label us. Assumptions are made, presumptions of views and opinions that others and ourselves may hold. We make judgments without realizing, discriminate without intending to, show bias unknowingly, open our eyes to the beauty of our diversity, help us to embrace each other, to celebrate and grow with each other, to humble ourselves that no one is more entitled or superior than anyone else. Show us how we can reach out to those that we think are different to us. We are all made in your image. Remind us that that image is love, not the color of our skin, not the language we speak, and not the status we may think we hold. Speak and act through us, so our communities can be strengthened and enriched. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our midst there is need. Sitting here will be those that need encouragement, those that need advice, those that need to see a doctor, those that need a hug, those that need to be thanked, those that need to be told they are welcome and can belong, those that need a smile, that those to me to be listened and heard, those that need a touch of love and support. We are all here. We all have our needs. We are all vulnerable. We can all bless others. We can all be a blessing to others. Father, you give us everything we need. You surround us with love and provide for our needs. Open our hearts to your Spirit, that we may be warmed, that those grieving may be comforted. We bring to mind today the friends and family and of Reverend Joan Foster, who has died this week. We also pray to remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Alfred Hastings, Vic Moyes, and Billy Cann. We pray that those who ask for healing may be strengthened. For Earl Adams, Pam and Fred Archer, Elizabeth Bellow, Daryl Campbell, Rosemary Cox, Noel, Stephen, Elizabeth Francis, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Sue Nichols, Pam Storey, Marion Twentyman, Martin Vowles, Clive Williams, Callum Williams, Angela Zadurian. We pray also for those who are away from their families and from their homes. Our families are scattered far and wide. We think of Lyndon in Switzerland this morning, and for those of us who have families in other places. Strengthen us as a family. Embolden us to act as a force for good. Encourage us to support one another in love, your love. A love so strong and so full of integrity that you sacrificed your Son so that we may be free. Father, teach us to pray and hear each and every one of our hearts this day and always. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.